This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Some shows talk about one team.
Other shows barely talk sports. This show
will talk Packers,
yeah!
Brewers,
yeah!
And Bucks.
Yeah! Every day. This show will talk sports every day.
It's Wisconsin Sports Daily
with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer
on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday. Week two of Wisconsin Sports Daily underway here with you. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, as you heard. Our guy Chicago Charlie producing the show, other side of the glass, Charlie Usen. And if you weren't with us last night with Charlie and myself, man, we had a fun time last night doing the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Pros postgame show, served up by Wendy's last night. And a big, big Bucks victory. We'll talk more about that coming up here this hour, obviously. But also, we'll talk with Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us coming up at 20 after 4 today. Also, some Packer draft talk. Goody talked earlier today. We'll talk with Andy Herman from the Pack a Day podcast. He comes up at 3:20 this afternoon. And we'll go over the Brewers weekend coming up here at about 2:40 or so. Because like I've told you before, and I'll say it again, we're going to try and do Bucks, Packers, and Brewers every single day. Even if it's only for a segment, all three teams we're going to try and cover every day or as much as possible. Now, again, some days might be heavier on one team than the other, but that is kind of the goal of the show. The other goal of the show is to have as much fan interaction as possible. Last night, I had a bunch of calls last night on the postgame show, so hopefully we can get to that point here on Wisconsin Sports Daily as well. If you don't have the phone number, put it into your phone, save it, and that way you can always participate whenever you'd like. 414-677-1250, 414-677-1250. Last night, the Bucks get the victory, and not only did they get the victory, but they got the victory in large part due to this man right here.
Big difference.
Airtain between the legs, he fires for the last shot of the corner! Hello, team!
It's not Dame time yet, but boy, oh boy, is he building to it. You could tell he was watching that clock, letting it go down. He didn't even celebrate too much. He knows he's got work to do.
19 points for Dame in this quarter. The most points in any quarter this season.
A huge first quarter for Damian Lillard that helped get the Bucks out to a sizable lead. 35 in the first half. And then, of course, he didn't score in the second half. That, of course, then became a storyline. After the game, and everybody concerned about him not scoring. I was just talking to GA from our sister station, Hot 105.7, and we were going back and forth about that. And listen, the game, they had the game in hand. Yeah, they got to within 12, fine. But for the most part, that game was in hand. Lillard didn't have to try and do something in order to score one way or the other. Now, if that game was, you know, 5-point game, 7-point game, something like that, and it was questionable coming down the stretch, Lillard would have scored. I mean, if we're going to freak out and be like, oh my God, they shut out Damian Lillard in the second half. Here we go. We're in trouble in game two. They're not going to shut Damian Lillard out, man. It's just not going to happen. Like, Carlisle's going to make his adjustments. Doc's going to make his adjustments. And then you're going to play from that standpoint and see what happens. Your overall thoughts, Charlie Usen, from last night's game, for those that missed it last night, on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Probes postgame show served up by Wendy's.
I mean, the obvious thing, like everybody's saying, like you're saying, Damian Lillard's game was phenomenal. And in that second half, what I saw was, yes, he didn't score a lot, but I said it last night, his off-ball presence was enough to take at least two Pacers' attention away every time the ball went out on that side of the court. And I think that was enough to open up guys like Malik Beasley, who hit a couple of clutch threes in the second half. It opened up Chris Middleton in the mid-range. Brooke Lopez had a couple big dunks at the end of the game that it just opened everybody else up. And I just really like, on the defensive side of things, is that the transition defense was phenomenal last night. The actual three-point defense wasn't exactly great. It was great that the Pacers were just missing their shots, but the transition defense was
much better.
Much better, which is really what everybody was harping on the Bucks to start doing, and that's how you're going to beat this team. And I think they did a really good job of that.
It's certainly been reflected in this game so far. Just the style that has been played has been much more at the Bucks' pace. Those first five games were not Chris Middleton.
That's the start we need in the fourth quarter. Melanie Ricks, what was going on in that huddle to get that going?
Well, Doc Rivers, he told his team the first 4 minutes of this quarter are crucial. They have to feel us. We have to run. We have to rebound. This game is ours.
See, and that stuff is exactly what you want. You want your coach to say one thing and then have the team actually respond to what you say. And Middleton played a good game. But the other part about Middleton was he found himself within the rhythm of the offense. Middleton wasn't forcing stuff. It was just within the rhythm of the offense. It felt natural. The game got done. He looked up. He said, oh, he had a double-double. All right. That's pretty cool. In the beginning of the game, when both teams looked like crap, Middleton was the first one to score for the Bucks with smooth, silky jumper. And you're like, all right, here we go. If Middleton is right, and he's your third option, guys, this year is going to be something for the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, they're going to be a problem if Middleton is playing well, Holiday's playing well, and Giannis is playing well. And that's how this whole thing is going to play out. Now, let's talk about Giannis for a moment. Doc Rivers talked earlier today talked to the reporters, and Eric Name tweeted this out just a little bit ago. He asked Doc Rivers, does the way Damian Lillard played in game one and grabbing a win give you guys the ability to be more cautious with him in this series? Said Doc Rivers, no. We want Giannis back. So when he comes back, we want him back on the floor because they're good. I mean, Indiana's good. They're going to be better tomorrow. And when we're going to have to be better, that's the other message today. Everybody, every team in the playoffs grows. And by the end, someone's really good. Our job is to say, all right, that's over with. Now let's get better in the next game. And then let's keep getting better. That's the key for us. Obviously, I disagree with Doc Rivers. But I also am smart enough to realize he may just be lying as far as his want to play Giannis in this series at this point. Giannis has been on the floor four straight days, Doc said. And today he's doing some off-court work, which was part of the plan or the procedure or whatever. They're trying to work back Giannis with this calf strain. Obviously, nobody wants to see Giannis play if they don't have to play him, probably in this Indiana series. If they could be up in this series the entire way without having to go to Giannis and win the series, that is absolutely the best case scenario, I think, for most people. You know, if the Bucks figure out how to win tomorrow, they're 2-0 going back to Indiana on Friday, that 4:30 tip. Feeling pretty good. 2-0 Indiana, then you're coming back to Milwaukee. You feel really good about things. You could be 3-1. I know it's Doc Rivers. Calm down. But you could be up 3-1, possibly coming back. There's no reason to play Giannis in this series. If you have the advantage in the series the entire time, regardless of what Doc says, I'm not trying to play him if I don't have to. Maxey is questionable for the Sixers in this next game against the Knicks. He's sick. Embiid doesn't look like Embiid. It looks like the Knicks are going to win that series after only one game. So you have to be ready to take on a physical style of series against the New York Knicks. All of Thibodeau teams are physical. All of them. So you have to be ready for that. Bucks, I thought, played pretty physical in that game last night. They really did. They were a physical basketball team, and they were a physical basketball team without fouling a ton. Now, is that something that's sustainable going forward? I don't know. We'll find out. We'll see what happens coming up tomorrow. But that is something, obviously, that you want to pay attention to. The question on the table for you is this. How does the Bucks win in game one last night change your opinion of the series versus this Pacers squad? How does the Bucks win in game one last night change your opinion of the series against the Pacers. 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. We'll take your calls, read some tweets. I'll tell you, one dude that made me happy was this guy.
Obviously, the more important.
Brock with a huge block. And sets up this here for the Bucks. Dame dribbles right into that. He hasn't missed a beat.
Well, I was talking to Thanasis earlier in the week, and he said, hey, Giannis might be out, but guess what? That's what we have Dame for.
That is what you have Dame for. But Brook Lopez's block, that was a big deal. Then later, he puts an exclamation point on his night.
Dame finding Pop! Ho, ho! Splash Mountain is Smash Mountain tonight!
Great line. You know, I'm sorry. And I don't know who likes Lisa Byington, who doesn't like Lisa Byington, but Lisa Byington always has some good one-liners and so forth throughout. As does Marcus Johnson. Novak does too from time to time. She really is really good at what she does. There is no question. She is really good at what she does as far as doing play-by-play for the Milwaukee Bucks. All right, so how does the Bucks win in Game 1 last night change your opinion of the series versus the Pacers? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. If Brook Lopez blocks shots, gets two or three blocks a game, and can hit a couple of shots, inside, because they really didn't use him inside. We talked about it, right? When Miles Turner's off the court, throw the ball to Brook Lopez inside and let him go to work. They, as predicted, did not do that. They let Bobby Portis work a little bit on the block, but Brook Lopez got no action down there. And I don't see why not. Especially if there's a switch, and let's say it's Siakam against Brook. If you can get a foul on Siakam by giving Brook the ball down low, then let Brook go work. Let him go be himself and take over. So I'm hoping to see that coming up here in Game 2. All right, Chicago Charlie, what do you think? How does that win last night change your opinion of the series versus the Pacers?
I think it changes my opinion a lot. I was pretty firm that I thought the Pacers were going to win this series. And after that game, with knowing how much of a streaky team the Indiana Pacers are, that game would scare me as a Pacers fan. They were just weren't hitting open shots. They weren't playing good defense. Tyrese Haliburton looked completely disengaged on defense the
timid
entire game.
Yeah.
I just don't see a world where if the Bucks can keep playing at this efficient of a level, that this Pacers team can get out of that funk. And they need to get on a run, and I just can't see that happening if the Bucks keep playing like this.
Matthew tweets at 1250 AM The Fan. It's huge. It totally changed the narrative. Hope they still have fresh legs for Game 2. Would love to see more offensive rebounding. That is one aspect of that game last night, especially in the first quarter, that was irritating me. You can't allow them to get second and third opportunities like they were doing in the first half. In the first quarter. There were multiple opportunities early in that game where like a Bucks player wasn't even running for the ball. The Pacers guys were. Bucks players weren't. I'm like, man, I'm glad Lillard's playing well, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of get after it type deal from the Bucks early in that game. Now, eventually they found it and they played better, but there's no question you cannot continuously allow them second and third opportunities to score because they didn't shoot the ball well last night. They didn't shoot the ball well from three last night, right? That's not going to probably be the case every single game of this series. They're going to shoot better without question. And when they shoot better, how are you going to be able to keep up the pace with them scoring? You held one of the best offenses in the NBA last night to under 100 points. That is saying something, folks. You know, you can say all you want about firing Adrian Griffin and Doc Rivers coming in, and, oh, they're not any better, and they were horrible under Doc. They should have kept Adrian Griffin. Defensively, the game plan that Doc Rivers had, for the most part, was the correct game plan. Now, he's got to come up with another game plan for Game 2, without question, and we'll see how that goes. And he'll have to come up with a different game plan for Game 3, right? So this is all about adjustments now once you get into this series between teams. And that's why I've always said coaching becomes more of a factor when you get to the playoffs than during the regular season. It just is. In the regular season, you're really not game planning as much per team. You're more or less trying to run your stuff to the best of your ability and then see what happens. Unless it's a rivalry or it's a tiebreaker possibility or something like that. But for the most part, you're just running your stuff. Mike in Shorewood, you're first up on Wisconsin Sports Daily here on 1250 AM The Fan with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man, how you doing? We're pumped about that win last night. I thought this, that was massive for the Bucks, because the way the Pacers were talking and all the pundits thinking, you know, they're all on the Pacers now without Giannis, thinking that the Bucks have no shot, because let's face it, the Pacers are an explosive offense, and a lot of people don't know, down on Dame, but I'm not, and we saw why. Dame shown throughout the season, maybe not as much as we expected, but at times he can take them for games, and I thought last night, the way he did it in his dominance, I think that kind of took the Pacers by surprise, because they really thought they'd take game one, but they were out of it by halftime. So when you're the Bucks now, you're looking at it, okay, Portis playing his role, all the guys now without Giannis got to play their role, and they've shown they can win at times without Giannis. So Doc, just don't screw it up. Allow Dame to be the focal point, and he can take over games. And if he's not scoring as he did in the second half, he can make plays for other guys. He can break down the defense, get Portis going, Middleton, Connaughton, wherever the hot hand is. And so that's the thing I want to see going to. If they go up 2-0, which I think they are, because I think that Pfizer crowd and that place was rocking last night. I don't know if the Pacers are at that level. Now, it's going to be tough to win in Indiana, but I want to get your opinion. If they just take care of a home court, which I suspect they will, I don't think the Pacers are going to steal one here. I want to get your time, and I can't wait for tomorrow night to be at game two. Thanks, man.
Thanks for the call, Mike. All right, so let's do a little history lesson, shall we? I tend to get overly excited. It happens. I do. I get overly excited. I get really pumped up. If you go back to the Raptors and Bucks Eastern Conference Finals when the Raptors had Kawhi Leonard, Bucks played the first two games. I came on the post-game show, and I believe my words were, get out the brooms, get ready for a sweep. It's over. There's no way they're going to do anything against this Bucks team. It's 2-0. It's done. It's over. Bucks are going to the finals. Whoo. Did I hear about that one for a while? Yeah, I was wrong. So when you ask me, wow, if they win game two, you know, is it done? Is the series done? No. No, you're not. No, I'm not falling down that rabbit hole again. No. I will say this. I will be very confident in this team the remainder of the series, and they can figure out how to win game two. If you're up 2-0 heading back to Indiana on Friday, I'm very, very excited and happy about the possibilities of what exists in the future for this Milwaukee Bucks team as far as, you know, moving on to the second round, probably against the New York Knicks. I am not, however, going to be on this microphone and declare the series over if they win game two in Milwaukee. I'm not going to do it. I've learned my lesson in my old age. Charlie, however, he's new and fresh and straight out of college. He may be dumb enough to say something like that on the radio. Let's check in with Chicago Charlie. Charlie, if they win game two against the Pacers tomorrow night, will you go on record and deem the series over?
I think I will. You know, I think playing in Milwaukee gives this team superpowers. And if you win the second game, going into Indiana, that stadium doesn't give the same kind of superpowers to the Indiana Pacers, in my opinion. And I think that the Bucks, if they can go up 2-0, they'll have that confidence moving forward. You know, maybe we do see Giannis at some point in the series, and it would be in those couple of games there. I'm pretty confident the series might be over if they get the second one.
Well, there you go. Chicago Charlie making enemies early. Week two, day one of week two. He's, you know, sixth day as producer of the show and already irritating the people of Milwaukee, deeming a series over if they win tomorrow. That's great. Just great. I probably shouldn't have asked him. That was probably my fault. I never should have went to him and asked him that, because now, if they were to win 2-0. See, did you factor in at all, Charlie, that Doc Rivers is the coach of the Bucks? The man's blown more big leads in a playoff series than anybody alive.
And you know what? Maybe this is his redemption arc, you know? We'll see.
Maybe. Maybe this is Doc Rivers' redemption tour. Maybe. Maybe this is all about Doc Rivers kind of getting revenge along the way. Who knows? How does the Bucks win a game one change your opinion of the series versus the Pacers? 414-677-1250. 414-677-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 a.m. The Fan. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
As Bobby, if you want some, Pat Bev, how about Bees in the corner? How about Bees in the corner? Give him a boogie, Bees. It is time.
Hey, the little shimmy, the little boogie in the playoffs, it's so much sweeter than a regular season one. So keep on making shots. Keep swinging that ball around. Keep knocking down shots. Bees coming through. You tell me there's not a little extra energy on that ball when it moves all the way over to him. Look at that smile.
He ought to have a smile. Beasley was the one running his mouth prior to the series even starting. Ran his mouth after they lost to him in the regular season. Then they went back to him, the media went back to him last week, and he didn't back off. Credit to him. Most guys would have been smart and said, dude, it's regular season. I was all fired up. Like, I respect how good the Pacers are. It'll, you know, we'll see how it all goes. Not him, though. No, not Malik Beasley. Nope, I'm sticking right where I want to be. Okay, fine. All right, like courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily here at 1250 AM. The Fantasy Sparky Pfeiffer with you weekday afternoons from 2 until 5. Chicago Charlie, other side of the glass, still to come. Andy Herman from the Pack-A-Day podcast comes up about 1 hour from right now at 3:20. As we look ahead to the NFL draft, Brian Gutekunst spoke earlier today. We'll get his thoughts on that. Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat writer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joins us in 2 hours coming up at 4:20. In the next segment, we will recap the Brewers weekend. And it was a big Brewers weekend over the weekend, so we'll get into that as well. Damian Lillard, during that game last night, was kind of mouthing to the crowd, this is what you brought me here for. This is what you brought me here for. And I don't know. I don't know which way to take that, right? So it could just very well be Lillard just being like, that's right, I'm the man. Don't forget about it, I'm the man. Dame time is here. Let's go. It's playoff time. Let's go. It's me. Could be that. Or it could be Dame Lillard going, I know y'all been all over me. I know y'all been all over me since I got here about how I'm not Portland Dame Lillard and this and that and every other thing, and now I'm here. This is really the reason. The regular season was not the reason why you brought me here. You brought me here to win a championship and win this thing. You brought me here to be this guy if Giannis is hurt and can't play. And in the first half, he did that. He was that guy. And there are some of you, you know, still wanting Drew Holiday over Damian Lillard and all that other stuff. And that's fine. If you still do, that's fine. But that there is why I said that's why you want Damian Lillard. Last year in that Heat series, if that Damian Lillard was playing while Giannis was out, they win that Heat series. They win the Heat series. There's no question. The Heat never get to the NBA Finals. The Bucks probably do. And it's a completely different thing. Now, I don't know if they win the Finals, but they at least get there. And now, you look at where this team is at without Giannis, they very well could win this series, even if Giannis doesn't play a lick in this series. Providing Lillard can play that well. Providing Middleton plays well again. Providing Bobby Portis plays well again. Providing Brook Lopez plays well again. The Bucks had a lot of stuff go right last night for them to win game one. A lot. Besides Lillard. They didn't turn over the ball. They only had a couple turnovers in the first half of that game yesterday. 10 turnovers for the game in general. And now what you're asking is, can you do it again? Can you do it a second time? Can you do it a third time? Can you do it a fourth time? Can you play this style of basketball and have guys making shots enough to win this series without Giannis? Because if and when Giannis does come back, say he comes back in this series, the game plan of how you attack Indiana dramatically changes. Completely changes. And that is where you start asking questions. Because when Giannis comes back, there will be more one-on-one basketball. I'm telling you right now. He plays one-on-one basketball a lot. So when it comes back to that, will the ball move as well as it was moving in spots last night. Lillard plays a lot of one-on-one basketball. So now you have Lillard and Giannis both out there, and they're both thinking, all right, I got to get mine, and the ball's not moving, and it's slowing down. That is when the Bucks normally tend to fall apart, as when ball movement dies. That's something I think that you have to look for if and when Giannis comes back in this series, is can the ball movement stay the way it was last night, Charlie, and put yourself in a position to where everybody feels like they're a part of this offense?
Man, I really hope so. I think if Giannis comes back in this series, hopefully Doc acknowledges that he's coming off an injury. Hopefully Giannis acknowledges that he's coming off an injury and say, hey, look at that game one. Maybe game two if it goes the same way as it did last night. You know, look at those two games and maybe I should just take a backseat. Maybe I should let Damian Lillard have the one-on-one opportunities and I can be a pick-and-roll guy. I can be more focused on the defensive end to kind of slow down hot Pacers offense if they can get going. You know, I hope that Giannis and Doc Rivers both have that leadership in them that they can both say, hey, maybe it's good for him to take a step back and take a backseat in the rest of the series at least.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that is something that you obviously should be concerned about for sure, I think, is when you look at, you know, how this team is going to play with Giannis and how Lillard responds with Giannis. Middleton is fine. Middleton, Giannis, great chemistry, right? No issues. But now that you're in the playoffs, Giannis has been saying all year, hey, man, you got to be the guy. You're going to be the guy down the stretch. Now that it's going to be crunch time, is that really going to happen? To say it and actually get out of the way and let him do it are two completely different things. I mean, thinking from this perspective, it's game seven against the Pacers, let's say. Closing seconds. Giannis is going to be like, you're good, go ahead, go get it. And then if he misses and you lose the series or something bad goes on, Giannis is going to walk away and go, I'm good. I mean, you could see Giannis on the sidelines last night, y'all. He was smiling from ear to ear watching Lillard put on that show in the first half. He was like, dang, this dude is legit. And he knew it, but you haven't seen it a ton this year from Lillard. So when you see it, you're like, man. And then you hear Lillard in postgame talking about the energy of that crowd. It's saying, hey, you know, I've been in the playoffs before. I've been around, you know, raucous stadiums and everything else. But I've never been on the court before a game and felt the energy that I felt like I did tonight, Pfizer Forum, where everybody's waving their towels and everything else. We haven't even started the game yet, and they're all fired up and ready to go. As a Bucks fan, you should take that compliment and ride with it. Now, the Bucks are doing something that I'm completely 1,000% against coming up game two tomorrow night. I don't know if you saw this or not. They're going to have white t-shirts. Why? Why? Do white t-shirts make noise? No. White t-shirts is simply a look for TV. That's it. It does nothing. Unless you could come up to me and say, hey, man, if everybody wears white, it makes shooting more difficult for the opposing team. You come at me with that stat, fine. But otherwise, I want noisemakers. Hand out cowbells. Hand out something. Make it loud in there. Back in the day when the Kings were doing their thing with Doug Chris and annoying back in the day in the 90s. That's what you need. You need noisemakers or towels or whatever. But just standing there wearing white shirts, wow, lame is that? I mean, I'm sure they got it sponsored and all that, and that's fine. I think Jockey's a sponsor, right? Am I right, Charlie?
Yeah, Jockey's
Jockey, yeah. I mean, that's so stupid, though. I mean, it doesn't make... It literally is just for TV. And my guy, Nathan Marzion, who is the co-host of the Green and Growing podcast, so we're going to live stream and do our podcast at 5:15 today once I get off the air at 5. If you want to go on the Odyssey Sports YouTube page and listen to me and Nathan go back and forth. He's on Twitter today. Oh man, yo! If you don't want to wear the shirt, then make sure you wear white. Who cares? Like, it means absolutely nothing, one way or the other. Nothing. Like, it's not even a sight thing. Like, at least with the towels, you're waving the towels. It's kind of a sight thing. It can be kind of distracting when you're shooting a free throw or whatever. I kind of get that. Do you understand the shirt thing? Because it's just for TV. That's the only thing it's for.
I mean, I think what a lot of people would argue is that it kind of builds a sense of community, too, if everybody's wearing the same thing.
By all means, sing Kumbaya and hold hands with each other if you want a sense of community. Get out of here, sense of community. That's just nonsense. Look, you want community? Call into the show. I'll have community. You and I will have community together. Yes. No problem. A sense of community. Get out of here. You're all at the arena together rooting for the Bucks. That's good enough for me. I don't need anything else. You don't got to wear the same shirt as me to show me that we're all part of the same fan base. Get out of here. That's nuts. I'm sure you're right, but that's ridiculous. That right there is absolutely ridiculous. All right, coming up next, let's go back. Let's go over the Brewers weekend. Hey, man, they got a sweep last night or over the weekend at St. Louis against the Cardinals. Now, sweeping Council's Cubs is by far going to be my favorite thing of the year if that happens. There's going to be no close second. But if I had a list of things that I'd like to see the Brewers do this year, sweeping the Cardinals in St. Louis against that fan base and watching that fan base melt down on X, that was a glorious thing. We'll talk about that coming up next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. It is Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. Is there such a thing as a happy Monday? I don't know, maybe. It's a pretty happy Monday for me. I had some good things happen today, so I'm in a pretty good mood. And hopefully you are as well. I want to get to the Brewers here, what happened over the week. I'm going to try to sneak in one more Bucks call here. Anthony in Muskego, you're next here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. What's up, man?
Hey, Spark, I got to say, I think you're spot on about the T-shirt thing. Half of Pfizer never wears the damn shirt anyway,
right.
So it doesn't look as cool as it does in some of these other places like OKC. And
yep.
You know what? Even Dame called it out, the towels, and everyone's waving those. The place looks lit, getting the chance for Bobby Dame time. You know, that's awesome. I wish they would stick with that because I think it works better in Milwaukee for sure. But, you know, that was a good crowd yesterday. Wasn't the best Pfizer crowd, but I thought it was a pretty good crowd. I mean, it was a fever dream in that first half with Dame going off. We've been waiting for that. But, you know, I think the biggest thing yesterday, obviously Dame going nuclear was huge, but Pat Beverly harassing Halliburton, three-quarter court the whole game, it was wearing on him, and you could tell. I mean, that was kicking that guy up. It very well might be our P.J. Tucker move, man. I mean, it was around the same time as Doc, but I actually think he's got a bigger impact than Doc because he filled the role that we definitely needed. The perimeter defense, bringing that attitude, him and Bobby together, the Bash brothers, it's a beautiful thing.
I think Patrick Beverly definitely should be talked about more. You're absolutely right about that. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Yeah, Beverly definitely had a huge role. And like Charlie said earlier, Halliburton almost checked out of that game. I'm not quite sure what his deal was, but he kind of checked out. And you would assume that there will be more of a concerted effort to get him going offensively in the course of that game. And obviously, you know, how do you do that? Well, Carlisle coaching it up and getting him in situations where he can get the ball in a favorable position for himself. That's one way. The other way is you just say you're running the offense. You're bringing the ball up. And if you see something, go. Like, don't even worry about it. You know, and have a bunch of dudes setting screens for him, giving him mismatches, and let Halliburton attack. And that was a big mistake by Indiana yesterday, really kind of letting Halliburton kind of just check out mentally or otherwise in that basketball game. And that's something that has to be addressed. While Anthony was talking, I just had an idea. And I don't know how many of you watched The Karate Kid or whatever the case may be. And I think it might have been Karate Kid 2, was it? Or Karate Kid 1 or 2? I don't know. Do you remember when they had that, like, there's a drum, right? It's on, like, a little stick, and there's a drum. And then there's, like, these little things, like, I don't know. They're not rocks or whatever. But they're attached to strings. And you take the stick, and you rub it between your hands, and the drum kind of flips. And as the drum flips, the things go bing, 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 bing. It's probably a horrible way of doing that. I forgot what they're called. But that also would be something fun to hand out at Bucks games to make a bunch of noise. They're like little drums, and you rub them between your hands, and these things go and hit both sides of the drum back and forth, back and forth. That would make some noise. That would bring some energy and something different to Fiserv Forum outside of shirts. And again, I get it. You're making money. It's a sponsorship deal. I totally get it. But if you did these drums that I was talking about, you could have sponsors on the drum itself. It could be sponsored by BMO Harris Bank or whoever, or BMO Bank. I think they got rid of the Harris part of it. But yeah, put BMO Bank on it or whatever. And that way, at least it's creating some noise to kind of help your basketball team out at that point. All right, over the weekend, the Milwaukee Brewers get a sweep in St. Louis against the Cardinals. And lots to talk about in this one, including Blake Perkins. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say he's a center fielder of the future for the Brewers. I'm not going to sit here and say he's going to win a Gold Glove. Not going to say any of that stuff. But what this dude's doing, he's what, 27? What this dude is doing, considering he's been a journeyman in the minors forever, and playing like this now is pretty wild.
Been one of the best the last couple years, going at least five innings.
And Newt Barr to center field, Perkins giving it a run, still back, Perkins leaps, he got it! Blake Perkins just saved a three-run homer, everybody tags and moves up 90 feet, but Perkins skies to take one away.
And Colin Ray was very, very happy that he was able to sky and take one away in that game. But Perkins literally is doing it all right now, man. I mean, he's doing it with his bat, he's doing it with his glove. It really is something. It really is. Because coming into the season, it was Garrett Mitchell, Sal Frelick, Jackson Churio, Joey Weimer, Christian Yelich. Everybody's names was being associated with that outfield, but not Blake Perkins. And then you hear the talk in spring training about how great he is defensively and so forth. And next thing you know, he's getting a chance to play. Why? Because Yelich got hurt. And because Yelich got hurt, he gets forced into action to get to play. Frelick gets forced into playing in the outfield. And Perkins gets to play in center field because you're still waiting on Garrett Mitchell to come back. And that is just really a very cool thing and a very cool story. And there was a great piece. I think, did Todd Rosiak write it? Him or Kurt Hogue? I don't know. One of them. And the Journal Sentinel wrote a piece on Pat Murphy and his thoughts on Blake Perkins. And Murphy is talking about the fact that when he met Perkins, I think it was last year or 2 years ago when he met Perkins, didn't think there was much there to Blake Perkins. Because Perkins is a pretty laid-back dude. Ain't all rah-rah guy, isn't all fired up, nothing like that. Just pretty chill. And Murphy wasn't buying. He's like, well, there's not much there to there. There's not much there, so whatever. And as Murphy says in the piece on the Journal Sentinel, he was clearly wrong. Clearly wrong in that one. How about this guy here? Not only is Perkins playing well, this dude here looks like he's going to be a perennial all-star at this point and really putting together something nice early on in the year.
18 RBIs on the season. Ground ball towards the middle. It's a base hit. Perkins coming around third, and the Brewers take the lead in the 10th. C&I single. Contreras gets it done.
Got 18 earlier in the third inning, driving in Perkins. Here he is in the 10th. It's a fastball right down the middle. Shocker, able to catch up to it. This is what he works on every single day in early work, catching up to heat.
He is legitimately a stud at this point. Obviously, it's April. He could slow down hitting and all that stuff. I understand that. But he has done everything. Defensively, offensively, he's a leader in that clubhouse for these dudes. He has done everything. And you have him at a very cheap price point for the next several years. That trade for William Contreras, and essentially all giving of Esteury Ruiz, is amazing by how well Contreras is playing. That was a RBI hit to give them a 2-1 lead there in the 10th, and they would go on, obviously, to win that game 2-1. That was a first game of that series of how they won that game. Then you get to game two, and the Brewers end up winning that one 12-5. And again, more fireworks in that one too.
There's a drive to deep left field. Back Nootbaar staring. That's a good way to get going. A two-run blast for Rhys Hoskins. Slider middle, and Hoskins hits his fourth.
See, and that to me is something else we haven't talked about. Hoskins is hitting 230, 240, somewhere in that area. It's not like Rhys Hoskins is hitting 350. And he's just rolling. And that's part of the reason you're doing so well and why you have a four-game winning streak right now. It's not it at all. He hasn't been rolling. But while he's not going yet, other guys are going. Like Perkins is going, right? At this point. That makes sense. This dude, Pat Murphy said in spring training that this dude here was just scratching the surface of how good he was going to be offensively. And last year left a lot to be desired offensively for this kid. But this year, so far, first month, he's raking.
He's been busting them in nonstop from the first batter of the game.
There goes Terang. Right field. Walker back. And gone. We're all tied. Slider down and in. And Terang took it off his shoe tops for a two-run blast.
That made it 4-4 there in that game in which the Brewers went on to win 12-5. And this is the other thing that we need to talk about too. Because there's somebody else that's struggling, like Hoskins, but they're continuing to play him. And they're playing him because they gave him a big, big contract in the offseason. They didn't give him a big contract in the offseason. Would he be here? Probably not. Let's just be honest. He'd probably be in AAA right now working on his craft. Instead, they gave him a lot of money, so they're going to play him regardless if he's doing well or not. But he desperately needed this hit right here after Terang hit that homer.
Now Churio tries right field. Walker back again. That's gone! Back to back go the Brewers. Jackson Churio hits number four.
A huge hit for Jackson Churio. And again, you could see the relief on Churio's face after he hit that shot. He came back to the dugout. You could just see, like, whew, okay, that's a pressure off me. Because, again, he's been struggling. And he's going to figure it out, and he's going to get going. And realistically, if you're the Brewers, you hope that he gets going come July, August, September. As it gets warmer out and it gets later into the year, let Churio be that guy with a monster second half after he makes adjustments to Major League Baseball pitching and help carry this team to a division title before it's all said and done. That's what you want to see happen if you're the Milwaukee Brewers at this point. Now, whether or not you know we can get to that point or not, we'll have to wait and see. But that's what you're hoping for. So the Brewers win that game 12-5. The Brewers are in a 0-0 game yesterday. And I'm at my kid's baseball practice, so I'm following along on my phone as the game is going on, really, really, really hoping they figure out a way to get this win with runners on here in the seventh inning. Owen Miller, who has not been up a majority of the year, has been kind of down at AAA. As I believe Pat Murphy said, he's been in the cooler since last year. Owen Miller, Wisconsin native, gets a chance to start yesterday and comes up big in the seventh.
Line drive base hit, Owen Miller. That'll score two. The local kid, Owen Miller, delivers for the Brewers. Went back to the sweeper, and Miller, with his first hit of the season, drives in a pair.
Beautiful thing. All those highlights courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin. My thanks to Chicago Charlie for pulling and cutting those highlights. The other part of this, you got McGill back for your bullpen, which is nice. This Hudson kid looks like he's legit. Now, again, it's April. Big, menacing power pitcher that comes in from the bullpen. I like what he has done to this point for the Brewers. He gave you 2 1/3 with 4 strikeouts yesterday. You'll take that every day of the week. Piams with his 3rd save yesterday as well. Ray, after he struggled there early, and Perkins saved that home run. Pitch shutout baseball, 5 innings, 5 hits, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks. You gotta feel good, Brewers fans, right? I mean, now you get the Pirates. They've sucked here recently. It's been a while since they've been any good. They got off to a red-hot start early on, first week or so of the season. Oh, boy, the Pirates are first place. Oh, boy, the Pirates.
No, they came crashing back down to earth. And that's going to happen. The Cubs, they're trying to keep pace with you right now. Keep pace with the Brewers. They lost again. But this type of momentum is huge for this Brewers team. You ever hear people talk about if it's a really big favorite versus a sizable underdog? If it's baseball, if it's football, basketball. I'm not a huge NHL guy, so maybe it's hockey. Chicago Charlie, are you a NHL guy? I don't think I've ever asked you.
Not a huge NHL guy, personally.
Oh, okay, fine. So we still don't have an NHL guy on the show. That's all right. And all the time we've been on the air, I don't think we've ever had a true NHL guy. Adam Roberts, though, he was an NHL guy. He was an NHL guy. He was a Maple Leafs fan, I believe, or is a Maple Leafs fan. Anyways, so when you have that underdog, what do they always say? Don't let them hang around. You leave them hang around too long, they're going to start believing they can actually beat you. Don't leave them hang around too long. Knock them out early. And then when you get to the fourth quarter, and if that team's up or right there with it, now they have all the confidence in the world to win the dang thing, right? That's what they were saying last year in that Packer-Cowboys game in the playoffs. They were saying the exact same thing. Dallas better not get too crazy here and let Green Bay think they got a chance at this thing. Not only did Green Bay think they had a chance, they knew they were going to beat them, and they crushed them. That's what I'm saying with this Brewers team. You had a lot of young guys. And the longer they're in first place, and the longer they're believing they're a first-place team and they've got enough to win this thing, they might just go win this division, y'all. It might just happen. They may win this damn division with little payroll compared to what the Cubs have or Cardinals or anybody else.
Yeah, this team is dangerous right now. And like you're saying, this is an extremely young team that still has to get going. Jackson Chourio still has yet to get going. Rhys Hoskins still has room to keep going. It's the first month of the season. What are we going to be seeing from this team? What are we going to be seeing from Jackson Chourio? Hopefully 5 months in the future.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
And he can be an all-star level guy at some point, maybe at the end of this season. Hopefully.
The other thing is you lose Yelich in this little stretch here. Yelich was hot. Yelich was looking like MVP Yelich with that bat. He goes on the IL and this team goes, we're good. We'll win four in a row. Hey, you take your time, Christian, to get back. And we'll just continue to win baseball games. Now, what I'm looking forward to is you get the Pirates here, and then you come home this weekend, and it's the Yankees. And this Yankees team, like all other Yankees teams, always have some big names in it and so forth. Well, Aaron Judge flat out stinks so far this year. He's hitting under 200. But you got Anthony Rizzo. You got a bunch of names that you're all going to know when you go out to the ballpark to watch the Brewers and the Yankees. There'll be plenty of names in that lineup that you're going to recognize, no question. But what if the Brewers take, say, 3 of 4 here against the Pirates, and you're rolling, 7 of 8 going into that series? Oh, my goodness gracious. I was reading a power rankings today on ESPN's website, and they had the Brewers listed just above the Cubs in the power rankings. And they were saying, the writer of the power rankings was like, hey, you got to give it to the Brewers. Like, they've overcome adversity from spring training till now and still are winning baseball games. Mind you, they have a better winning percentage than the Chicago Cubs do. Then you go down to the next one, and it's the Cubs. And I read that. Well, you got to like the position you're in. Cubs are on pace to win 96 games. Well, they didn't say what the Brewers were on pace to win, but the Cubs, they're in good position. They're in second place. And I started thinking about that. I was like, well, damn, if they're on pace to win 96, Brewers going to be on pace to win right around 100 at this point. Now, is that sustainable? Probably not. I think before the year started, most of us thought 80 to 85 wins, somewhere around 500, would be a relatively good season for how young they are. Freddy Peralta is your ace, Wade Miley, and question marks after that, unless you believed in Ray coming into the season. I wasn't there necessarily. So that was probably kind of what the goal is. It's only the first month, but you look at this, they still need starting pitching. Like I'm well aware they need one or two guys to really work in this rotation for this to work all the way around, but this baseball team right here has every opportunity to be a playoff team this year with as young as they are. Similar to the Packers being young last year, figuring out a way to win. This Brewers team with Pat Murphy, who may be the perfect manager for this squad, right? I'm not going to call him Grandpa Pat because that's unfair. And we used Grandpa before with Grandpa Maka. So I don't want to use that one. We used it for Ken Maka years ago. I love Pat Murphy. I love the style that he plays, the small ball style, you call it little league style, whatever you want to call it. I enjoy the style of baseball we're seeing from this Brewers baseball team. It's fun, right? You want to sit down and watch the Brewers game. And what you're going to find out is your kids are going to want to sit down and watch the Brewers game as well because of the style of play that they play. It is exciting. When guys get on base, you're just waiting for somebody to take off running to steal a base. That's what you want to see, right? Doubles. And you get the occasional power, but this lineup is not built around power. This lineup is built around speed. And when you have that, you're always in the game. Churio can hit a roller up third and beat it out for an infield single because he's fast. Terang, same. Mitchell, same. I mean, you've got a bunch of guys whose average is going to be higher than maybe it should be. Sal Frelick, there's another one, where you're just beating out infield, getting infield singles more than other guys because of how fast you are.
Yeah. I'm seeing shades of some of these Atlanta Braves teams that we've seen over the past few years with this team. They had a lot of the same ideas about building their rosters, is building up through that minor league, getting and locking down those young stars early.
Right.
And it's the same style of play, too, that those Braves were initially playing, was a lot of speed, get around the bases, maybe not a lot of home runs, but you can add on to that with trades, with free agency signings, when you have the money, since you're not paying guys early. You're doing small team-friendly contracts that are keeping guys in the organization. I think that's a great way to do it. That Braves team won a World Series. I think it's a great model to follow.
You have to build through your farm system in baseball when you're a small market team like the Brewers. You know, David Stearns goes to the Mets. He can spend a boatload of money. Now he doesn't necessarily have to worry about the farm system as much. But when you're in Tampa Bay, where Matt Arnold came from, the current Brewers GM, they have to build through the farm system. They don't have the money. When you're the Brewers, you have to build through the farm system. I just heard an interview with Tom Flanagan from the Brewers front office. Helps to run the farm system for the Brewers and so forth. And he was being interviewed by the play-by-play guy from the Biloxi Shuckers, the double-A team for the Brewers. And it's like a 4 or 5 minute interview. I saw it on Twitter over the weekend. And I listened to it. They're talking like they've got three legit starting pitchers down at double-A. We know about Mizorowski, but apparently there's two other guys down there that are pitching really well too. So you've got three legit pitchers at double-A that are coming, you know, and if two of those or whatever can get up to triple-A by the end of the year, maybe by the time you get to All-Star break next year, one or two of those guys may end up in your bullpen down the stretch, and then in the following year, they're in your rotation. That would be huge for this Brewers team. And think of this, you get Woodruff back next year, or at least that's the expectation. Woodruff comes back into this rotation next year to go with Peralta and whatever else you develop. And because you don't have to pay these guys a lot of money, the Mitchells, the Frelicks, and all that, you might have some money to go out and get a starting pitcher or rent a starting pitcher for next year. If you make a trade this year for a guy that has a year and a half left on his contract, like did they with Greinke all those years later, you can go do that right now. And Mark maybe signs off on it and says, yeah, that's fine. He's making $20 million a year, $25 million a year. That's fine. We'll pay him next year. But we're not paying him after next year. But we can pay him for a year and a half. But after that, you know, we're going to have to move on. Lots of exciting things with the Brewers. And I know they don't get talked a lot about on Sports Talk Radio in this market. It's unfortunate. But I want to make sure we touch on them every day as much as possible. And tomorrow, Tuesdays with Tim Dillard, 2:40 every Tuesday. Tim Dillard, Brewers analyst with Bally Sports Wisconsin, will join us to make that appointment. Listening brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. All right, coming up next, a couple of new mock drafts out there concerning the Packers. One from ESPN, one from Pro Football Focus. The one from Jordan Reed at ESPN makes me smile. Who knows how this is going to go, but we'll go over it coming up next here. And then Andy Herbin from the Pack-A-Day podcast joins us in about 20 minutes right here on Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.